During the last few months, I have been taking the time to zero in on a number of individuals, Bible characters that each faced very unique circumstances, sometimes impossibilities, often hopeless scenarios. And I have tried to take the time to look at some of these specific snapshots that we find recorded in Scripture. Defining moments that could have turned out very badly, but by the grace of God have left behind monuments for us to look at and study and visit. This morning, I want to direct your attention to yet another hopeless situation that involved an amazing encounter with Jesus. And so if you have your Bible with you this morning, I want to invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. And we're going to read the story, this event, in its entirety. In John chapter 5, starting with verse 1, we read, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' The invalid replied, 'Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.' At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.'" Now, before I keep reading, let me just stop here for a moment, because isn't that just a really crazy response here? All right? I mean, here's this crowd. They've just watched Jesus perform a miracle, and they're unhappy. Why? Because things weren't done the way they thought they ought to be done. Is that crazy or what? In fact, here's this guy. He's been an invalid for 38 years, and now he's walking again. That's good news, right? But look at how he replies. Look at verse 11. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.' So they asked him, 'Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat, to pick it up and walk?'" Verse 13, "The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there." Now, just to kind of give you a point of reference, this pool that we learn about in John chapter 5 was a pool that was located just north of the temple area in Jerusalem. It was a large pool area surrounded by 5 colonnades or porches, and it was built many years earlier to be a monument of wealth and prosperity, but its residents now are people of sickness and disease. It was called the Pool of Bethesda, a word that means house of mercy. And mercy is what the multitudes who were gathered that day were longing for. Listen to how one author describes the scene. He writes this. He says, "Picture a battleground filled with wounded bodies, and you see Bethesda. Imagine a nursing home overcrowded and understaffed, and you see the pool. Call to mind the orphans in Bangladesh or the abandoned in New Delhi, and you will see what people saw when they passed Bethesda. And as they passed, what did they hear? An endless wave of groans. What did they witness? A field of faceless needs. What did they do? Well, most walked past, ignoring the people. But not Jesus. He's in Jerusalem for a feast. He's alone. He's not there to teach the disciples or to draw a crowd. The people where he's at need him, and so he's there. I wonder this morning, can you picture the scene? Jesus walking among the suffering. What do you suppose he was thinking when an infected hand touched his ankle? What did he do? When a blind child stumbled into Jesus' path as he was walking along, did he reach down and catch the child? When wrinkled hands extended for alms, how did Jesus respond? I mean, how does God feel when people are hurting? Now, in this story, I imagine that there were more sanitary crowds that Jesus could have hung out with in Jerusalem. I imagine that surely there were many more enjoyable activities going on. After all, it was the Passover feast. This was an exciting time to be in the holy city. People would have come from miles around just for the chance to meet God in the temple. But little do they know that God is with the sick. Little do they know that God is walking slowly, carefully between beggars and the blind. Little do they know that this young carpenter surveying the ragged landscape of pain is God. This picture in John chapter 5, when we take the time to really slow down and look at it for what it is an incredible, powerful, and troubling scene. Row after row of wounded and sick and hurting people. Question for you. Are things really that different today? Unfortunately, not. Our world is full of pain and hurt and trouble and sorrow. I wonder this morning, have you ever stopped to think that wherever we go, we're surrounded by row after row of wounded and sick and hurting people everywhere, even in this room? And just like the people gathered at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, a lot of us in this very room have problems and issues, hurts and habits, fears, concerns, obstacles and challenges that at times seem to cripple and paralyze us. And many times we become convinced that as long as we have them, we're not really going anywhere in life. So I wonder this morning, what problem or issue, what hurt or struggle, what concern or fear do you have in your life at this moment that if it would just go away, you'd feel like your life would be so much better? If you could just simply write it out, Lord, if you could just, you fill in the blank, fix this thing in my life, or do something about this obstacle I'm facing, help me to overcome that hurt or that habit or that hang-up, If you would just remove that stress that's been piling up in my life. In fact, I'm going to invite you right now just to take a moment right now. You might want to write it down. You might just want to think about it. To ask God to speak to you about that problem or that situation this morning. Just let's bow our heads just for a second and just place that item, that thing that you're facing before God. And Father in heaven, this morning you have heard our heart's cry. Lord, we are a room filled with hurts and wounds and struggles and cares and concerns. And God, this morning as we take a look at your word, I pray that our eyes would be open to see how you operate in our lives and in the way that you operate as we find it in your word. We want to give you all the praise and glory for how you operate, for the fact that you're God. And this morning, we commit this time to you. Amen. Now, it's clear from the scripture that I just read that even though there were a lot of people lying around this pool called Bethesda with problems, Jesus, it seems, focused all of his attention on just this one guy. Okay? Here's Jesus, and he is laser-focused on this man. This is the man. It's a crazy outline this morning. It's going to be easy to follow. The man. Okay? Now, we don't even know this man's name. In fact, we don't know very much about him at all. We simply know that he'd been a cripple, John says. For how long? 38 years. You know, that's a very long time to deal with something, isn't it? Something else that catches my attention here is that I get the feeling that this man had not always been a cripple. This man had not always been an invalid. I have a feeling that if he had been born that way, John probably would have described him the same way he did of the man that Jesus met in John chapter 9, verse 1. Where we read, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. You see, like us, this man in John chapter 5 wasn't born with his problem. It just kind of came on him as he lived his life. The thing is, how this guy lost the use of his legs, we don't know. Maybe it was because of some disease or due to an accident. We don't know. But one thing we do know is that for 38 years, he had been an invalid. For 38 years, he had been paralyzed, unable to stand, unable to walk, unable to run, and unable to care for himself. What we know is that for 38 years, this man's hope, like his legs, had slowly withered away until there was only a faint glimmer left. Imagine for a moment what it would have been like to live like that, especially 2,000 years ago. Crippled, paralyzed, unable to move, and all hope of ever walking again fading away. It's possible you don't have to imagine because maybe you've been there and you are there now, crippled or paralyzed by something. And as this guy sat under one of those colonnades, those porches that day, looking down at his legs in his mind's eye, he could see back to the time when they still worked, when they were able to get him where he wanted to go, when this problem that was crippling him was not even a part of his life. I mean, it wasn't even on his radar. But then his thoughts returned to the present. It was spring, the time of year of that great Passover feast, the time when the Jews flooded the city, celebrating their deliverance from the bitter bondage of Egyptian slavery. So perhaps this guy was thinking to himself, if only God would deliver me from this bondage. If only God would set me free from my slavery, from these useless legs. If only this day would be different than the last 13,870 days that I've lived. The fact remains, this man had a problem, and it crippled him, literally. And if you were to ask him how his life was going, he would probably say to you, "Are you kidding me? In case you haven't noticed, not good. Look at my legs. I can't walk. I can't do anything." And if you were to ask him what it would take to get his life going again, he would probably say, "If only I could walk again, my life would be so much better." Now you have to understand, this guy was crippled by his problem and not just physically. You see, to be cured, to be able to walk again, dominated every thought. In fact, I want you to notice how John records him saying in verse 7, look at the passage. In verse 7 we read, "While I'm trying to get to the pool, someone else beats me to it." By the way, that verb "trying" in this verse is in the present tense, and it indicates continuous action. You see, the day this guy met Jesus was not the first time he had been to this pool. He'd been there before. Maybe he'd been there every day for 38 years. And since it looks like he has no friends to help him get into the pool, it's more than likely he had no friends to help him get into the pool in the first place. So how did he get there? Possibly by dragging himself, by pulling with his arms, by digging his calloused and bleeding knuckles up and down the rough and rocky streets of Jerusalem. Listen, there's no doubt about it. This man was driven by his desire to get rid of his problem. It's what drove him to the pool. And I wonder this morning, what's driving you this morning? And I'm not talking about your car. What problem drives you? What issue? What concern? What circumstance? What challenge? What habit? What hurt? What hang up? What mat are you carrying? What burden? What is that thing that you're so ready to put down? 2,000 years ago, this man, this invalid on a mat, met Jesus. So first of all, we have the man. Next, we have the question. The question. When Jesus saw this guy lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" By the way, it's interesting to note that the Greek word translated for well here means to be healthy, to be sound, unbroken, undamaged, whole. And I wonder if you've ever been asked a question where the answer is really obvious. You know, parents are really good at asking these. I should know. I've been a parent for a long time, right? "Do you want a spanking?" "Gee, Dad, I thought you'd never ask," right? "Do you want to get grounded?" "Yes, please." I read about a comedian named Bill Engvall, who talks about stupid questions that people ask that deserve really short, pithy comebacks that usually stop anyone in their tracks. Like when you're in a parking lot with a coat hanger in the window of your car and somebody asks, "Did you lock your keys in the car?" You reply, "Nope, I just washed it and I'm hanging it up to dry." Or you're packing up your house, the yard is full of boxes, there's a U-Haul in your driveway, and your neighbor comes up and he says, "Hey, you moving?" You reply, "Nope, we just pack our stuff up once or twice a week to see how many boxes it'll take." Or you're out fishing and you come back with 3 coolers of fish and a guy on the dock yells out to you, "Hey, you catch all those fish?" And you reply, "Nope. Talk them into giving up." You know, when I read the account of this guy lying on a mat for 38 years, being asked that question that Jesus asked, I wonder what kind of short, pithy comeback this guy might have been considering. I mean, think about it. Imagine for a moment that you're a doctor and you're making your rounds in the intensive care unit of a hospital, and you ask each patient that's there, so, Mrs. Johnson, do you want to get well? Are you kidding me? But that's exactly how I felt about the question that Jesus asked this guy at the pool, at this pool of Bethesda. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be able to walk again? I mean, what a silly, and dare I say it, stupid question to ask a guy lying on a mat who's been crippled for 38 years. Don't you agree? Nope. Of course I don't want to get well. I enjoy being a cripple and having to beg to eat. I love hanging out here with so many other sick and hopeless people, and I especially enjoy dragging myself here every day and then leaving later that night disappointed. Yeah, that the answer to the question does seem kind of obvious, doesn't it? Of course I want to get well. That's why I'm here. That's why I've been here for the last 38 years. But is it really that obvious? Because you see, getting well would require this man to begin living a different kind of life. Was he ready to do that? Or had he become a little too comfortable with his mat and too familiar with his problem? And had he become dependent on the excuses that his problems gave him for living and behaving the way that he did? Do you remember that blank I asked you to fill in earlier? Lord, if you could just fill in the blank, fix this thing in my life, or do something about this obstacle that I'm facing. If you could just help me overcome this hurt or habit or hang up, if you would just remove all of this stress that's been piling up. Imagine the Lord Jesus today looking you straight in the eyes and speaking those same six words that he said 2,000 years ago. Do you want to get well? Yeah, I know it sounds obvious, but do you really want to get well? Do you want to be healed of past hurts? Do you want to be set free from that secret sin? Do you want to overcome that addiction? Do you want to get a better handle on your tongue and your anger? Do you want to put down the bitterness and become a better person? Do you really want to be reconciled to your children? Do you really want God to be the center of your life? Do you want to overcome that negative and destructive attitude? And do you really want to be less fearful and more trusting? You see, the answer is not as obvious as it first appears. Because we, like that guy in John chapter 5, after a while, we get used to and comfortable with simply lying around on our mat with our problems and our issues and our concerns and our habits and our hurts and our hang-ups. And after a while, we get kind of used to them and comfortable with the excuses we feel that we can give for behaving and living as we do. And the truth is that the longer we lie there, the more we begin to wonder if the effort and changes it will take to really pick up our mat and walk will even be worth it in the long run. Listen, this morning, the sovereign King of the universe is looking at you and me, and he is saying, yeah, I know you want me to take care of your problem, but do you really want to get well? Do you really want to be sound and unbroken, undamaged, whole? So first we have this man who's been lying on a mat for 38 years. Second, we have the question, do you want to get well? Which leads to the third point, the answer. Take a look at the passage, John chapter 5, and look at verse 7. The sick man said, I can't, sir, for I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, somebody else always gets in ahead of me. Did you get the answer? I can't. I have no one to help me. Now, don't get me wrong, and I am not an English teacher, but you know that question that Jesus asked this man? It should have been a yes or no answer, don't you think? But I wonder, is that where you are at this morning with your issue? I can't. I mean, when you look at your struggles and your concerns, your attitudes and hurts, your pain, your stress, is that your answer too? I can't. I have no one to help me. I want to get well. I want to be whole. I want to be sound and healthy and unbroken and undamaged. But I can't. Therefore, it'll always be this way. I will always be this way. It will never get any better. I'm stuck. I have no one to help me. Listen, if that's where you're at this morning, I can't. Then you need to hear the offer that Jesus gave this guy who for 38 years had laid on his mat at the Pool of Bethesda. And you need to understand, this is huge. Because of Jesus, the I can't, I have nobody to help me, no longer applies. Jesus, the one we serve and worship and follow, is not the God of can't. He's the God of can. He's the God who can do immeasurably more than we could ever think or dream or imagine or ask or hope for. You see, 2,000 years ago, there was first a man who had been laying on his mat for 38 years, who second was asked the question, do you want to get well? Who third gave the answer, I can't. But who fourth on that day received an amazing offer. He received an incredible offer. Look at the passage again. Look at John chapter 5. Look at verse 8 and 9. This is the offer that Jesus said to him. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. You want to know something? I wish we would all do that. I wish that you and I would just take Jesus at his word. I wish we would believe that when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says something, it's really going to happen. So why are we so stubborn? Why are we so unwilling to be made well? I mean, think about it. When Jesus tells us to stand, why don't we stand? When he says we're forgiven, why do we still hold on to the guilt? When he says that he loves us and we're valuable and we matter to him, why do we continue to doubt our worth? Why do we continue to feel unloved? And why do we constantly go looking for both in all the wrong places? When the one who clothes the flowers in the fields and feeds the bird in the air promises to provide for us and take care of us, why do we still worry so much about everyday life? When he offers us a peace beyond understanding, why do we choose internal conflict and turmoil instead? When he says in all things, we are more than conquerors, why do we continue to let the hurts and the hang-ups defeat us? When he says that in him we are a new creation, why do we insist that in some ways we and others will never change? When he tells us that we've that when we forgive, that we are the ones who are set free, but we stay locked behind the prison bars of bitterness. And when Jesus says, put me first and all things will be given, why do we continue to hold back our time and our treasure and our talents from him? On that day, Jesus said to this man who had been laying on his mat for 38 years, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once this man was cured, he picked up his mat, and he walked. This man, 38 years on a mat, who was asked the question, do you want to get well? Who answered, I can't. Who received an offer, get up, pick up your mat, walk. There's one more point that I want to look at, and let me simply call it the point. What's the point of the story? You want to know something? This story in John chapter 5 is not just another random story about a day in the life of Jesus who goes out of his way to heal a man who has been lying on a mat for 38 years. The point of this story is that not only can Jesus deal with our problems, but he can take us to true wellness. In other words, it's important to recognize and acknowledge the issues and problems that we face in life that are keeping us from walking in newness of life. In fact, you may be on a mat this morning that is crippling your life and your walk and your faith. And in order to be able to move forward, you have to decide. You really want to get well. And just like that guy on the mat who had to do more than simply lie on his mat, you have to be willing to get up, pick up your mat, and walk. The fact of the matter is that most of us already know what we need to do. We just haven't been willing to do it. So first, the point of the story is that not only can Jesus deal with our problems, but he can take us to true wellness. Here's a second thing that I want to point out, and it's this. We have to move from seeking mere surface wellness or the removal of a problem to seeking wellness for our soul. By the way, I want you to notice this because it's really important, and it certainly applies to real life. This guy's story did not end with his healing. Okay? In fact, take another look at the passage. Scroll down in John chapter 5. Go right down to verse 14. This is what John writes. He says, later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Did you notice that? John said, later, Jesus found him at the temple. Now you should know that the word for find or found is in the present tense here. And what that indicates is that Jesus was looking, he went searching for this man. He went out of his way to connect and make contact with this individual again. You see, you need to understand that Jesus wasn't simply cruising through the temple one day and just happened to run into this guy. No, Jesus was looking for him. Jesus had a much higher purpose for this man than the mere healing of his legs. In fact, check out what he said when he found this guy. Verse 14, see, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. What Jesus was saying to this guy was, listen, I know that you felt your physical problem was important. And look, you're well now. The problem, this issue, this concern, this hang up, it's gone. And you're feeling pretty good about it. And I'm okay with that. But then Jesus says, my friend, there is something even more essential than having your legs healed and restored. There's something more valuable and precious than the physical, and that's the spiritual. You see, I came to restore your soul. I came to make your soul well. You see, our problem is not really the problem, and removing it is not the answer to our wellness and wholeness. True wellness and wholeness go so much deeper. You see, the question is, do you really want to get well? Or do you want Jesus to just remove the problem in your life? Do you want to be able to sing, "It is well with my legs," or "It is well with my soul"? If you want to put it in something that we understand, right? Now, the awesome thing about Jesus is that many times he takes care of a problem in our life so that he can show us what we really need, right? And what we really need is a radical, personal, on-fire relationship with him. In other words, listen, the King of Glory wants to do so much more than just rescue you from your problems. He wants to be with you to restore your soul. And what I'm trying to say is that it's not what we think. Let me put it another way. If our life is not running like it should, the problem ultimately is not our job, or it's not that our business is going bad. The problem ultimately is not the health problems that we're suffering. It's not our finances or our children. It's not our hurts or habits or hang-ups. And by the way, Jesus can take care of those. And because he loves us so much and is full of compassion, he often does. But Jesus wants to do so much more than take away our problems. He wants to take us to himself, which, by the way, will always take you to wellness and wholeness and make you healthy and sound and unbroken and undamaged. Or as the Apostle Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 4, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much, with much as with little. I've found, Paul says, the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. So not only can Jesus deal with our problems, but he can take us to true wellness. Second, we need to move from seeking mere surface wellness or the removal of that problem to seeking wellness for our souls. And finally, we must make true wellness and soul wellness our highest unrivaled goal, which is ultimately found in following Jesus. True story, I read a story this past week about a pastor who did a baptism in Lexington, Kentucky that he would never forget. The man that was being baptized was in a wheelchair. He had MS. He was in his late 30s, early 40s. And before he was baptized, he shared this story. He said that he was so pumped up about being baptized that he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And when he woke up, he had a thought. He said it was more like a dream of somebody coming up to him and standing over him as he sat in his wheelchair and asking him this question, "Bob, if you had one wish and it would be given to you, what would it be?" And in his testimony, Bob said it was obvious that the person asking the question assumed that he would say that his greatest wish would be to get up out of that wheelchair and be able to walk. But Bob told the one who asked him the question, "You know what? I already have the answer to my greatest wish and desire. It's Jesus Christ. And today I'm being baptized into his name for the forgiveness of my sins." Talk about being made well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this incredible story that we see recorded in John chapter 5. And as we think about that question, do we want to get well? I pray that, Lord, we would take the time to evaluate our relationship with you, recognizing that your desire is not so much to heal us physically, but, Lord, that we would be made well spiritually. That our outlook on life, whatever situation you have placed us in, would be such that we can move forward in step with you because you're there to lead us and guide us and direct us in the first place. God, as we reflect on this story today and in the days ahead, I pray that our eyes would be open and we would really sense what it is that you are doing in us and to us and through us. And God, I pray that we would hold still as you do your work in my life, in our lives. And I want to give you the praise and glory for what you are doing and what you will do in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray.